ground. It had a little dirt and it germinated, but when it got hot, when the heat came up, it could not stand because it didn't have much root. And then he said another one fell among some ground that was infested with some thorns and weeds, and it got choked out. And then finally he said, but some fell among good ground. And the ones that fell among good ground brought forth 30, 60, 100-fold. He teaches about the sower in verses 1 through 8. And then in verses 10, he gives an explanation. I'm in Mark chapter 4. He gives an explanation about what he just said to his disciples. And Jesus went on to explain to them, he says, because they wanted to know, why does he teach this way? Why does he use these kinds of parables? And he says this because, and when you get to about verse 10, he starts to explain. And Brenda, what he really says to them, he says, we living in a day where folk got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they don't understand. NIV version says they see, but don't perceive. They hear, but don't understand. Because if they did see and did understand, they would see where they are and where they need to be, and they would turn and repent. And then in verse number 20, he says, but I tell you this, he wraps it up and says, if folk will hear the word, accept the word, they'll get blessed by the word, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, because it's not just enough to hear it, but you've got to hear it and accept it. And how do you know that a person has really accepted the word? I tell you how you know. You'll know they've accepted the word when they apply what they heard. You can put an amen right there if you want to. And then from that, he gives a lesson on the lamp. It's interesting. He talks about when a person has a lamp, he doesn't hide it under a bushel, but he lifts the lamp on a stand. And the lamp gives light. The whole intent is that the lamp gives light to the room so that the stuff that is hidden will be disclosed. The stuff that is concealed will be opened, all because the light has been lifted in the room. Isn't it interesting? He talks about the word and then he talks about the light, because the word is light. And when you lift the word, that which was concealed comes to the open. That which was dark is now, you are now able to see and understand. All of this as he is teaching through chapter 4. And then he explains to them, he says, now you really want to be careful about hearing and understanding the word. And here's why. Because he uses this term. He says there's an incentive on using what you hear. Here's the incentive. He says, as much as you use, that's what's going to determine what you reap. So you want to make sure. You want to be careful. You want to understand. You want to use what you hear. And from there, he talks about this little plant, because a plant, he says, you got to know how the plant grows. Because here's what happens. The seed germinates, then it becomes a stalk. He's talking about wheat here. It goes from germination to a stalk to ultimately you see the head. But then it's not ready just when you see the head, because the head has to develop a full kernel. I'm on my way somewhere. The seed germinates, it begins to grow, you see the head, but it's not ready to harvest just when you see the head, because you got to get something in the head. It germinates, it grows, you see the head, but you don't pick it right there. You got to wait till the head becomes full. You got to wait till it's ripe. And then there's time for the harvest. It's a marvelous text, as Jesus goes on to teach. And then he helps us to understand the power of potential. The power of potential. Arvana, he teaches us the power of potential by reminding us about the mustard seed. And he says about the mustard seed, it's about one of the smallest seeds you'll ever see. But there's potential in that mustard seed, because if you plant it, it can become such a big plant that even the birds can roost in that plant and find shade in the plant, because there's power in that, in the potential. Verse number 33 is important, because in verse number 33, the word says that he speaks to them as much as they could understand. He's trying to give them all that they can understand. And it's now evening time, and after he's done all of this teaching, we get to verse number 35, and he says to the disciples, all right, y'all, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Now, every time Jesus spends this much time teaching, you know that there's going to be an exam. Whenever he spends this much time sharing and teaching, you know there's going to be a chance for the people to put into action what has been taught. He says to them, let's go to the other side. I read the text for you. You're pretty familiar with this scripture. So let me go on and give you my outline. I told you, because let's go to the other side. And I wanted to do it like this, because there's more to learn. Here's the first thing I want to share with you from this text, from this very familiar text. The first thing I want to lift up is it is important to listen to Jesus. You got to listen to Jesus. Listen, the whole chapter, Jesus has been teaching. Jesus has been teaching. And Jesus says, at this point, he says, okay, y'all, we're getting ready to go to the other side. I'm done teaching. We're going to the other side. And here's what that really amounts to. What Jesus is really saying is, we are done here. And it's time to move a little further. We are done here. It's time to, I done taught all I'm going to teach here today. It's time for us to go to the other side. And when you read the text is really interesting, because when you read it, what it says that day when evening came, he came to his disciples. He says to them, let's go over to the other side. And then leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Don't get ahead of me. He says, we're done here, but we're not done. And I need to tell you that every now and then, God will give you an assignment, and there will come a time where you will have to put a fork in it. I'm done with this. But it does not mean you're done. What Jesus is saying, he's saying, we're done here, but we're not done. Because why? Because there's another chapter. We're going to the other side. Do you know what's waiting on the other side? On the other side, there's a little boy who's possessed with the demon. On the other side, there's a woman who's desperate, been dealing with an issue for 12 years. On the other side, there's a man who's got a daughter who's sick that's about to die. All Jesus is saying to his disciples, we're done right here today, but we're not done. There's some other work to do on the other side. And I got to share that, because every now and then we accomplish something really marvelous and we think we're done. No, you ain't done. You just done here. But there's still things that the Lord wants us to do. I hear the word of God saying, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word means you're always looking for what he wants accomplished next. Always looking for what is next to be done. Jesus says, we're done here, but we aren't done. Now we've got to work some work to do on the other side. Got some work to do on the other side. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says, come on, let's go over to the other side. Here's the second one. Don't leave Jesus. Don't leave Jesus. When you read the text, watch what the text says. The first thing it says is leaving the crowd. Now, I wanted to preach that. I really love to put about 3 minutes on that, Because every now and then, one of the things that keeps us from going to the next thing that the Lord wants us to do is some of us, we are too scared to leave the crowd. And I'm gonna talk about this. I might as well go on and say it today as well, because we got some young folk. Do you know that every now and then it becomes clear, especially as a young believer? Have you ever thought about the fact that, you know, some of the folk that, you know, kind of in your crowd may not be going anywhere? Go on, you can say, we in church. They're not in church. You can go and say, amen. And what you got to be careful, you can't be afraid to leave the crowd. Why? Because as a child of God, God's got something special going on your life, and it ain't for everybody. Which means if you're going to receive what God has for you, you're gonna have to make a choice. Are you going with Jesus, or are you going to hang with the crowd? One of the greatest fears that a lot of young people face, especially as it deals with social media, they're afraid to be left out of the conversation. All kind of stuff break out in school when somebody gets left out of the conversation. And you know when it normally happens? It normally happens on a Monday. We were in South Carolina, and we visited Simone at her school, and there were 6 fights on Monday morning, and it was just 1 o'clock. And we were sitting in the office, and there was all this commotion going on, and we discovered this isn't nothing new. Because what ends up happening, folk jawbone all weekend long. And then on Monday, you gotta put up or shut up. And so there's all kind of struggles because young folk are struggling getting left out of the conversation. But the truth is, what God has for you, you might as well get used to the fact that there's some folk that can't go where you're going because they don't know who you know and they don't have what you have. You're going to have to leave the crowd. They left the crowd. Watch this. They left the crowd, and the text says they took Jesus. Now wait a minute. It didn't say Jesus took them. Jesus says, this is where we're going. And then the text says, they took Jesus. It's as if they took Jesus and said, come on, let's get in this boat. And when you read the text closely, the disciples had Jesus in their boat, but there were some other boats with them. I would suggest to you that if you can't get Jesus in your boat, at least get on the same lake. If you can't, because he could only be in one boat at a time. So if I can't get in the boat with Jesus, I'm going to get in a boat beside Jesus on the same lake. Have I got a witness here? Because there's some benefits just coming that'll come to you just by being in his crowd. They take Jesus. Don't leave Jesus. Don't leave Jesus. Don't leave Jesus. And it's evident that in some of our lives, some people have left Jesus behind. Revelation talks about, there's one church in Revelation where it says they left their first love. Don't leave Jesus. Don't leave your love for Jesus. Because it all starts with that. Your love for Jesus. If you say you love him, you know what that'll lead to? If you say you love Jesus, then it'll show up in your lifestyle. Sierra, I don't know much about Rhode Island. Never been there. I don't know the town you going to, but I'm convinced if the Lord opened the door for you to go all the way from Evansville to up there, and then put you majoring in biology, getting ready for med school, he got a church somewhere with a seat with your name on it. Because I don't believe he has poured all that he has poured into you in your life here and then send you someplace where you can't love him, can't serve him, can't worship him. I'm looking at a sister over here right now. She ain't from Evansville. She's from somewhere in Illinois. But when she came to Evansville, the Lord had a place so that she could keep loving Jesus, keep serving Jesus, keep growing in Jesus. And now she's been here longer than she really want to say. But I just believe wherever you go, don't leave your love for Jesus. It'll show up. It'll show up. If you say you love him, it'll show up in your lifestyle. In your lifestyle, your lifestyle will reflect. We are the Lord's ambassadors. We are his representatives. It'll show up in your lifestyle. I ain't talking about no cross. Anybody can buy a cross. I ain't talking about no fish on your license plates. No. It ain't what you show on the outside. It's what comes from the heart, a lifestyle. Because Jesus says, by this, everybody's going to know that you're my disciples because of your love one for another. It will show up in your lifestyle. It'll even show up it'll show up in your language. Because whatever you love, you talk about. Whatever you love, you talk about. I get it. Harley, that's a nice motorcycle. I get it. Goldwing, yes, that's a nice motorcycle. But every now and then, the conversation should move beyond the hobby to the holy. Every now and then, I get it. That is a bad purse. I know it is. I know it's the real deal. You didn't get it on the corner. It's a real deal. Wonderful. God blessed you to get something marvelous. Wonderful. Blessed you to get something good. But don't ever, we can't ever let the blessing cause us to forget about the blesser. Oh, we go on. Celebrate it. Celebrate what the Lord has done. Celebrate what he's given. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. But every now and then, when you love the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, maturity will show you that every time you turn around, everything is connected with the goodness of the Lord. You can't keep him out of your conversation. They didn't leave Jesus. They took him with him. Then when the text goes a little further, between here and the other side, suddenly they ran into a storm. Here's the third thing I'm going to tell you. Don't leave Jesus. Here's the third one I want to tell you. Lean on Jesus. Learn to lean on Jesus. Learn to lean on him. It's not if there's going to be a storm. If the question is when. Matter of fact, if you keep reading the Word of God, you can predict some storms. Mm-hmm. You can become a spiritual weatherman. You can predict. You can predict some storms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can predict some storms. Okay. Yeah. That little 1.5-year-old, now 2, spitting in your face, and it's still cute. Oh, you got a storm coming. you got a storm coming. Because if you don't check it now, don't be surprised if it's not spit, but it may be a fist next time. Ignoring the Word of God, no need for studying the Word. Okay. It's hard to study in the storm. it's hard. I don't even if you got an iPad, It's hard to study in the storm, trying to find the scripture to help you, and it's thundering, and your world is shaking. Reverend, what you trying to say? I'm trying to say, while you're in decent weather, you better get in the word, because once you in the word, then it'll give you the strength you need so that when the storm comes, because you can't be turning pages in the rain. It's hard to look through a concordance when it's thundering and lightning. Okay. Amen anyhow. Because watch what happens when they get in the storm. When they get in the storm, they make accusations that ain't even close to being true. When they get in the storm, the first thing they want to do is blame somebody. They're blaming Jesus. Here's what they're doing. They're throwing Jesus under the bus. They're putting Jesus on blast. When they do wake him, the first thing they say, we up in here, things aren't going well, and you don't even care. Now, that's what they said to him with their mouth. Think what they thought about him in their heart. Because we don't always say, tell the truth. They make false accusations. We up in here about to go under, and you don't even care. Here's what I want to tell you. Lean on Jesus, but here's my point. Be truthful. Just tell the truth. Here it is. Be truthful. Be truthful, because when Jesus speaks to them, what he really does, he addresses their fears. Tell the truth. And here's the truth. Sometimes we get scared. I wish I had time. I'd pass the mic around here, because all of us are scared of something. And I ain't talking about spiders and snakes. All of us scared of something. Sometimes something ain't feeling quite right, and we scared to go to the doctor. Then scared after we go to the doctor, got to wait on the answer for the test. Some of us scared of losing our job, scared we ain't going to be able to finish school, scared that our business is going to go under, scared we ain't going to have enough money for retirement, scared. Because the devil is in the business of trying to make us look at the situation rather than looking at the Savior. And so all of us get scared sometime. I wish y'all would say amen. I could leave this point. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. It's okay. Jesus, no, tell the truth. Jesus, we scared. Because being in a boat in the water is one thing. But being in a boat with water in the boat is something else. Hey, Junior, watch this. The storm put the water in the boat. Now watch this. Nowhere does the text say that Jesus got the water out of the boat. All Jesus did was calm the storm. Now that the storm's over, you get the water out of the boat yourself. Because you need to do the work, because you're the one trying to throw Jesus under the boat. And every time you dip, it's a reminder he does care for you. He ain't going to let you go on. Get the water out of the boat yourself. I've got it. That's good preaching. Sure he is. I told you, listen to Jesus. Don't leave him. Take him with you. Lean on Jesus, and then learn everything you can about Jesus. Keep on learning from Jesus. I've been trying to get to verse 41 ever since I started. Because Harrison, in verse 41, after they calmed down and started smiling at each other, and they said, "Doggone it, even the wind obey his voice." That line right there, Harrison, is real good. Mike, that line there is real good, because what it's really saying is, we didn't know he could do this. He can do this too. We saw him stretch a meal and make leftovers, but we didn't know he could handle even nature. Because God may be trying to teach you something. Watch this. Even in the storm. Maybe what you ought to do, instead of screaming in the storm, be still in the storm and ask the Savior, "Show me what you're trying to show me." Because he can teach you something even in the greatest storm of your... Let me give you a homework assignment. Can I give you some homework? Here's what I want you to do. Homework. I want you to go back. Don't go back far. And I want you to recall the greatest storm you had. Had. Because here's what we know. You already threw it. You on the other side. And the question, my homework assignment is, what did God show you in that storm? What did he teach you about that storm? Because you're still here. Georgia, you still here. Ain't Mr. Mill, still here. Still buying what you want, driving what you want, still here. Still going where you want to go, still here. What did he teach you in that storm? Because you'll discover that the Lord has a way of stacking up some experiences. And it should give you courage and faith to know and be mindful of how great he is. Because you can learn something even in a storm. Matter of fact, Marvin, you know what I decided? If I've learned that if it is a storm, I ain't going to waste a good storm. Because I don't want to have that storm again if I can help it. So, Lord, help me to understand what you're teaching me in this storm, so that at least we don't have to have this one again. I close with this. I wrap it up with this. Y'all know the beauty of checkers. The beauty of checkers is when you can work your way to the other side. I'll be honest. I prefer checkers over chess. Chess is just a little, it's just too many people making too many kind of moves. It's just too much to watch for me. I can play it. I don't play well. I can play it, but I can't play well because it's just too many things to watch. Checkers? Now that's more my speed. Because I can really only go left or right. Can only move forward, left or right. And you gotta make sure that you get some things straight when you start playing with checkers, because people play different ways. They have these different, but the whole benefit, the whole issue is in checkers, you're trying to, if you can get that one little piece to the other side, you get to that last row, crown me. And then that little piece becomes more than what he was. He becomes a king. Which means when you got a king, you can do some things. You can do some things you couldn't do before. You can jump some ways you couldn't jump before. Have I got a witness here? And here's what you got to remember. When you are listening to Jesus and applying his words to your life, because his word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. His word, there's power in his word. And when you apply that word, you've got a king on your side. Not just a king, but Jesus is the king of kings. Have I got a witness here? If he can move, he can do, he can anything. And that's what the lesson was all about. They said, doggone it, we knew he was a great teacher. We knew he was a great cook. We knew he was compassionate. We knew he forgave. But wow, he can even do this. And what God will show you is that the Lord can do anything. That's why we ought to love him. That's why we ought to serve him. That's why we ought to follow him, because he is the King of Kings. And one day, you and I will get the privilege of crowning him Lord of all, because he's worthy of the glory, worthy of the honor. He's worthy of the praise. God sent his only son. He died so that we might live. Then he hung on that cross and said, "It's finished." Oh, praise his holy name. They put him in that tomb. He borrowed it for a few days, but then got up on Sunday morning, not with some power, but all power in his hand. The same one who had the power to calm the seas can calm the storms in your life and mine. Loved us so much that he went and sat down at the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Ghost to indwell you and me, so that we have the living God living within our hearts if we've trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. So tell the truth. Sometimes in this life we still get scared, but that's Satan's task. Satan wants you to see the storm and forget about the fact you got a king in your corner. When you've got Jesus in your corner, you've got everything that you need. Keep on reading. Keep on studying. Keep going higher and higher, because there's always more to learn. More to learn. There's more to learn. Somebody looking at me right now. This morning, I stand here with a joyful heart to welcome and invite you to trust my Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm asking you to take his hand and go with him to the other side. Connect with Christ. Come to know him as your personal Savior. We can take the word of God and show you how you can have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody else, "Pastor, I'm here today, but I don't have a church family to call my own." Wow, I tell you what, I'm believing that God's... that if you are saved, I just believe with all my heart. Yes, you were in Louisville, but it's kind of difficult to drive to Louisville every Sunday. I know that there's some services on YouTube. I watch them as well. There's some folk that have e-church and enjoy that. But you need a fellowship with believers where you can engage in a tangible way. My son-in-law was in Afghanistan. There are times they'd be out on the field, out in the desert, and all they had was the CDs. All they had was what they could download. But that's what they had to deal with because of where they were. But it doesn't take the place of being with a family of believers, where you are serving them and they're ministering to you. So we welcome you today. We welcome you today. We welcome you today. We welcome you today. Amen. Amen. Michelle, y'all, this is a tough.
I just want to thank everyone for all the cards and the prayers for my surgery. As you can tell, it went just wonderful. And thank you for the prayers for my sister. She is now cancer free.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all remember when we were praying for Missy? And we thank God. And last week, Shell was here. She had her cane and she was carrying it. Wow. How many weeks has it been? 5 weeks. Wow. Well, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. All right. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Hello, Mother. How are you?
I need prayer. I've been going through a whole lot of stuff.
Okay.
And I need prayer.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that. Mother has asked that we would join her in prayer. We're going to do that right now. Let me have your hand. Let me have your hand. God, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the hand that I hold. Thank you, dear God, that you do hear and answer prayer. I thank you for Mother. I honor and love you. God, she has persevered. She presses her way to make it to your house, to be amongst your people, that she might worship you and serve you. God, I don't know what she's facing, whether it's an illness or whether it's an issue with family. I don't know what it is, but I do know that you can do anything. And so, God, I'm asking that you would bless. I'm asking that you would help us to help her. I pray to God that she'll be encouraged today, and I pray that she'll lean on you. And God, we're going to stand in your place. So what we're really asking is that you'll allow her to lean on us, and may our strength be her strength. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.